CBA Mobile. TR, KB4, CBA. Hey, Tom, Mom, I'll be in here for just a minute.
Oh, I just headed down for an egg delivery to the daughters in out here on 101. I've been trying to resolve some automobile headaches this morning. They're supposed to change my air input filter on this Avalon, and they looked at the top of it, but they didn't look at the bottom of it, and that's where the air comes under it and up through it. And so when I got home, I thought, well, I better check that, because they said it was good. It was all full of crud, so I went down and bought one, and we changed it ourselves. But boy, those can be a booger to get in there.
If you haven't done one before, they can be a little challenging. You know, once you've done a few, it gets better, but they can be rather fussy, wanting to go in.
It's not a square, Dave, and then it goes off at the back edge. It goes off at a 45 or so for the old back third of it or so. And so I went to Napa and bought a new one, and of course they was out of the cheaper one, which I didn't really care, but they're not exactly cheap anymore. $16.95, but the other one was like $27, so I had to buy the $27 one. But between Bernice and I, we finally got it in there. We had to loosen up that radiator clamp-like thing at the back on that big 4-inch duct going back towards the injection system, I suppose, where the MAF sensor's at. But we got it in there. We think it's right.
First it goes in up under the hood and not through the glove box.
But the cabin air filter, that's what they thought. I asked them to change it first. I said, no, I want my one that feeds the fuel injection system.
Replacing the engine air filter.
You know, to me, this is a cabin air filter, the nomenclature, but yeah, that would be another way of putting it, which is probably the correct way. It means you've done it so long.
They're called a cabin air filter. I don't know what I called it. But anyway, I was just mistaken. That was my bad. Yeah, well, I mean, air filters can be the same way. Just getting the, the top off the plenum there that it goes in can be a pain sometimes. It just depends on the design. Most of them, well, a lot of them have clips now instead of screws, but some of them screw off, and those can be a headache, but anyway.
It can be a pain. Well, this is definitely not like the old days when they, just had a round air filter in there. And yes, it does have clips, but you can almost break a knuckle trying to get a hold of them. They're kind of in a half moon circle, and you unclip them. But then the plenum back there, as you call it, that big round hose, it kind of inhibits you from lifting it up. And then you're trying to slide that air filter in there and then get the lid back down on it squarely and without moving the air filter. Good old pain in the gluteus maximus.
Well, but you got it done. That's the main thing. I remember my dad, he had I think it was a 2001 Buick LeSabre, and he said, my engine doesn't have an air filter. And I said, Daddy, all engines have an air filter. He said, well, mine doesn't. And I said, well, open the hood and I'll show you where it is. So I had to show him where the air filter was. He didn't think it had one. And I guess he was looking for that round thing in the middle.
Yeah, well, that's us old timers, all right, Dave. Just send your old TR. Well, you know, back when I had my first truck, it was a 53 Chevrolet, and it had a 216 six-cylinder engine in it, and it was a Babbitt beater, and the intake filter to the carburetor, which I believe was a one barrel, it just had an oil bath. It did not have a filter in it. And then I got to looking for the oil filter on it. It did not have an oil filter, Dave. So I changed the oil. It was Skelly Supreme 30 weight every 2,000 miles religiously. It never did give me any trouble. Oh, and I'd had a can of STP in there. And everybody said, don't put that stuff in there, Durst, honey. Well, I don't know, but I drove it for 13 years and it worked.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can remember when STP came out, and I think I bought a can of it, and I stuck some in a lawnmower. That wasn't such a good idea. Anyway, the lawnmowers back then, especially back in the, I guess this was probably, it might have been the late 60s, or about 1970. Anyway, they took, you know, non-detergent, and I'm sure STP is a you know, a detergent oil, which what happens is it aerates, and it and then the parts don't get lubricated like they should. And so that was a big boo-boo, and I think we wound up, I think I did it on an old mower, so it really didn't matter because we weren't using it anyway.
Just wanted to know what kind of Toyota you got. But, Dave, I always use non-detergent oil in the Skelly Supreme. I think it was not. Maybe it wasn't. It might have been a detergent oil. Skelly Supreme, I remember that. And the STP, after I changed the oil, when I pour the STP in, which looked like honey, the oil gauges on those engines only went to 30 pounds. And you'd only run about, 11 pounds of oil pressure, so normally. And when you put that STP in there, I had somebody do it one time while I was watching the oil pressure gauge, and it went up 2 pounds after we put that in there.
Yeah, that's not going to hurt anything. You know, and I don't know much about engines that old, but anyway, evidently if you drove it 13 years when you were doing that, it didn't hurt it, so there you go. You know, oils and engines have changed so much. My lawnmower takes a 10W40, I think, 10W30 or 10W40 oil, but it's an overhead valve engine, and it's made by Honda, and you know, it's just things have changed. You know, I can remember when I used a non-detergent oil in my lawnmower, so, you know, it hadn't been that many years ago, but I got this Honda, this guy actually gave to me, and it just needed the carburetor cleaned out, and it was ready to go, and it's great. It's self-propelled, and it has a bagger, and it's just a great mower. I've been using it for years now. KB4CBA.
And Daryl TR. Bernice asked what model of, I know you didn't get a RAV4. What model of Toyota did you get, Dave? And I don't think it was a Highlander.
Yeah, I forgot to answer that. It's a 23 4Runner. It's got the TRD off-road package. It's a four-wheel drive. It's about the color of my Mustang. It's a dark blue, navy blue, you know, and everything's, most of down. I think the front has a little bit of, not really chrome, but in the very front of the bumper and going underneath, there's a section of it that's not black. But for the most part, it's just all black, the tires and rims and everything. It's got some big old tires on it, and it sits up real high. I'm really enjoying it. I miss my Mustang, I'll have to admit, but, you know, it was time to get rid of it. It was 11 years old, and it probably would have started giving me trouble for too much longer.
You miss the acoustics most of all on the shift. But I tell you what, if you ever injure a foot, I found out real quick, like, that you definitely don't want a standard clutch, and I drove them most of my life. But if you get a bum foot, you got a problem if you gotta push a clutch. So I was glad that we got the automatics. But I had a friend that did, father-in-law did mine land reclamation stuff, and conservation reclamation, I should say. And he told me once, his name was Red Fox, and he said that our trucks are out in the mud and the blood and the beer all the time. And he said, honestly, and this has been 30 years ago probably, Dave, he said, you're better off with an automatic transmission. And I thought, oh no, you know, off-road like that and everything, but that's what Red said.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to experience that. I'll be honest with you. I've never had this one off-road. I tried to take my Jeep, my old Jeep Quadratrac. I had set a 79, and I had my daughter and I think a friend of hers. I picked them up from school, and I said, let's just go off-road right here. We're just a little ways, and we got just, I don't know, a few feet in, and she started getting upset, and my daughter did, so I turned around and got back on the road and to the house. I don't know really. I guess it just bothered her. You know, she'd never been off road either, so she was little. So and you know, I just never did try to do that again. Now, I did drive in the snow, in 18 inches of snow. It did fantastic. So I know it'll do. It did good, but it was automatic. So I don't know what a stick shift. What it's like to drive a stick shift in the a four-wheel drive stick shift in the snow.
Well, I found out the hard way, and they take off and go real fast. But when I got down to the intersection at the end of the road, there was a T, and I found out real quick that they don't stop any faster.
Well, this one has four-wheel low, so it's supposed to, yeah, if you let off the gas, it'll come to a stop. And I haven't tried it yet, but I need to figure out how to use this thing, because if I ever get in a position where I need it, then I need to know how to use it.
Many years ago, in the 80s, we bought a Toyota Tercel wagon, kind of a weird-looking little thing. You probably remember them. And it had four-wheel drive and a massive 1.5 liter, I think it was, four-cylinder with no fuel injection. And it was absolutely gutless. You better have a football field to pass in, but it was super, super reliable. No problems in that respect. And the first thing I done, unbeknownst to my dear wife sitting here, I went out to the bicycle dumps. And we had a lot of coal mines around. So where I used to ride my motorcycle on the bicycle dumps, I decided I was going to take that car. And the hill was so steep that when we started coming down, the seatbelts locked up. And it was funny. I took Shelly, my oldest daughter. I don't think she's ever forgot that. She was pretty young at the time. But in Granny Low and that thing would just climb straight up. But as far as being a road car,
our Jeep was, it was good. I'm not sure, but I can't remember that it had air conditioning. We drove it to Pigeon Forge one summer for vacation, and it did fine. It must not have been real hot or anything. I don't remember. But that's been years ago. I'm sitting here at the garage, in front of the garage, so I'm going to pull on in and get them back in the house. I'm going to say 73s. Y'all be careful there on your trip and delivering your, I didn't forget what it is you're delivering, but anyway, making your run there to your daughters, and I'll clear out here after your final. Always good to talk to you, Tom, N0TRKB4CBA.
Same here, Dave, and enjoyed it. Well, we got 4,000 eggs we're taking down to her, and I don't know, what else? Do you, Bernice? That's about it.
Hi, Dave.
And have a good day, Dave. KB4CBA, N0TR73.
Make it behave, Bernice, KB4CBA.